My dearest Christian friends, who rejoice in the goodness and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If ever there was a time for us to rejoice, it would be now, this season, this time of year. I mean, as we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas, that's what we do, isn't it? We rejoice over what wonderful opportunities God gives. Think about everything we get to do this season. We get our homes ready, put up the tree and the decorations and the lights. We get to prepare our homes maybe for a meal that will serve for people who come. Clean the house, bake the cookies, make the meal, all of the trimmings. On top of that, we get to go out and search aimlessly for hours on end at every store that we go to find the perfect gift for absolutely everybody on our list. And then we get the joy of going home and with bows and paper and ribbons, we wrap it all up. Does it sound joyous? You ever felt that way this time of year? You know that it's around Christmas. You know that we're getting ready for this wonderful time. You know that it's a time for rejoicing, except it doesn't feel like the happiest time of the year because of the stress and the deadlines and the work and the worry and everything that needs to take place. It gets in the way. It distracts. And we forget to take a breath and rejoice. Today we get that opportunity because Paul, as he writes to the congregation in Philippi, he reminds them of that. And at the same time, he's reminding us of that. To stop for a moment. To see the real reason why we rejoice. In fact, he says it again. He says, again, I will say, rejoice. To rejoice in the victory of the Lord. To rejoice in the peace of the Lord. That congregation in Philippi that Paul writes to here, it was special to him. It was special to him because when he went there, the amount of people who had so willingly and gladly with thanksgiving grabbed a hold of the word and of his message was staggering. Now that congregation in Philippi, it wasn't the normal congregation Paul established, because it was a Greek city. It was a Roman outpost, and there wasn't a whole lot of Jews who lived there. So when Paul went there, he couldn't start with the Jews because there weren't any, at least not enough to really make a difference. And so he started preaching among the Greeks, the retired Roman soldiers, the prominent women, the individuals who were there. And they grabbed a hold of his message with such fervor and zeal and joy that it gave Paul absolutely every reason for him to rejoice. In fact, he says that he remembered the Philippians fondly. And so when he writes to them, he takes a moment to remind them of the reason they have to rejoice. This is what he says. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice." The Philippians had reason to rejoice because God had been good to them. They had wealth and health. They had prosperity and peace. And when they looked at all of the many wonderful blessings that God had given, they had every reason to rejoice. So he tells them, remember to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, because above all of the other wonderful blessings, all of the other amazing things, this was the crowning jewel. Rejoice in the Lord. Because not only had God given them earthly blessings, He had also sent Paul to them. And Paul had brought the Word. And the Holy Spirit worked through that Word to create faith within their hearts. And now they knew their Savior. They trusted in the promise of God. They knew their Lord. And so when they rejoiced, when they thought of all the goodness and everything that God had done for them, the Lord would be what would be at the forefront of their attention, even with everything else going on. And then Paul encourages them to respond in such a way. Let the world know that you rejoice in the Lord, because the next line says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Let everyone know that you rejoice in the Lord because of how you interact with people. in your communities, in your congregation, throughout the world, let the generosity of the Philippians be known. And actually, it kind of was, because Paul talks about it. He says to show it in gentleness. Not in stress and anger and frustration because of all the problems and the worries of life. And the Philippians would have had those too. I think we can sympathize with that, can't we? Especially this time of year. As everything starts to bog down, as we start to get so worried and wrapped up in what is going on here in life, as we take a look, and instead of looking to the Christ child for Christmas, we focus too much on all of the other stuff that has to get done. And then, of course, Christmas Day rolls around, and we're so stressed out that all we do is bicker and fight. You walk into a store and the lines are 20 people deep. And you get up to the front of it and you finally want to just make your purchase and go home. And of course, whose fault is it? It's the cashier's fault. Because they didn't move fast enough. That's not showing the joy of the Christ child, is it? Paul's encouragement here for the Philippians is to let the world know that you know your Lord because of how you interact with people, and I guarantee you it makes a difference. As we walk through with peace and hope and joy, as we live our lives of gentleness and rejoicing, the world sees that. And they're going to go, wait a minute, why? Why are they so full of hope? What is it that they really have to rejoice about? And the Lord becomes evident in life. There's no greater evangelism than that. I guarantee you, we can preach all we want, but the simple, humble, gentle life that interacts with people on a daily basis in their lives speaks volumes to the goodness and graciousness of our God. Let everything that Christ has done be known through your gentleness. How easy is that? Or do we also fall into the problem where all the burdens of life and all of the difficulties that come about seem to get in the way and absolutely distract us? As we think about the pain and the loss of a holiday season, as we look at all of the difficulties and the things that need to get done, and all of a sudden, day after day, moment after moment, as we don't even have a time to breathe, we forget in the midst of it all to see our Savior. To take that moment to rejoice in the Lord in His goodness. If anything, as you're getting ready for Christmas, think about that. As we put our attention not to all of the distractions, but where it's supposed to be. Because, let's face it, Christmas can still happen without a clean home. And without the tree, and without the lights, without the presents, and without the cakes. It still happens. And its message is still just as good. The rest of it's just dressing. We have a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. We have a child who has come to win the victory over His enemies so that we have peace. Rejoice in the peace of the Lord. Because that's what it's all about. And that's all that matters. That's what Paul reminds the Philippians of. It's what he reminds us of too. Rejoice. Especially when the worry and the burden and the difficulty comes in. You have even more reason then to rejoice. And he continues also. He says this. Do not worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what are we going to do when the stress and the burden and the difficulty becomes too much? There's a simple solution to it. And if we're looking to the cross, if we're looking to the manger, if we're seeing the reason for our joy, well, it comes naturally. Basically, it's hand it over to God. Let Him handle it. You don't bear your burden alone. Because Christ willingly came to this earth. That's the whole point. that he would come to win the victory so that he could bear your burden too, so he could defeat sin and death once and for all. And there is nothing, nothing in life that he does not say, I've got this for you. In prayer and petition, make your needs known, and he will answer. And the beauty, the true joy, the reason we rejoice is because the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That's a guaranteed promise. Because God has won the victory and he gives you peace. The stress and the deadlines, the worry and the anxiety, they're all earthly things. And in the end, they don't matter. Christ has won the victory. He has brought about peace on earth. We get the promise of heaven's glory, and we can take a breath. And we can rejoice. Because that same peace, if we focus on it, if Christ is the attention, if Christ is the focus of it all, that same peace that he gives will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ. So that the burdens and the stress and the worry won't be able to drag us down. All we have to do is rejoice. We have the victory. The enemy is defeated. Peace reigns supreme through our Savior Jesus Christ. So do this for me. As we continue to get ourselves ready for Christmas, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice in the Lord and in the peace that he has won. Let him be the focus. Everything else, it'll be what it'll be. But see the Christ, and his peace will guard your heart and mind. Amen.